Recorded. So how are we today? Thank you for throwing in the song at the end, by the way. It kind of reassured me. It went along with my message. The throw-in went right perfect with it. So it's interesting how God works. I find it funny that people don't talk amongst themselves. And I've been working on this for a while. In fact, God's changed it twice, which made me nervous. And ended up being in tune with your last one, Brother Kevin, and some of his here recently. So makes you feel good about it that you know you're right on where he wants you to be. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for letting us come here tonight to worship you, and just keep me on track and give me the words that you want me to say, and just bless us to all receive it with open hearts and minds and use it in our life every day and really think on it. And again, I thank you for calling me to such a privileged thing to do. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
If you would go in your Bibles to Galatians 5. And because I can't help it, I am going to run you all over the Bible again like I did last time. But I think it's a good thing. Something Mom always told me when I was growing up was that it's like a treasure chest. And I spent a lot of time gold panning with my grandpa all over Colorado. And you can look for gold, but I used to focus on, there was little rubies and all kind of stuff in it. And when I'm studying for this, I'm looking for that thing that really stands out to me. But throughout the entire Bible, I think there's just little bits and pieces all in it that are treasure.
Amen.
And something we can use. Galatians 5:16 and 17 is where we're going to read. Before I go there, as I was studying for this, everything in the world keeps coming in, flooding in, you know. The things you need to do, things you want, just literally everything. And we all have priorities and things in life that we have to do. But I found throughout the week that I was getting sidetracked with everything the world could throw instead of staying focused on what God wanted me to do and what He wanted me to see and hear. So, 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, you know, and we have all kinds of stuff that we have to do to make our lives work out. You know, you've got to go to the grocery store, you've got to go to work, you've got to have your car fixed, you've got to, you know, you've got things that have to be that are common sense things. But how into the world are you outside of what you have to do? I mean, really think about how are you in it? Are you like Abraham, like he's been preaching on Wednesday nights? Are you a sojourner, traveling through it, headed to the promised land? Or are you like Paul? Are you ready to go meet your maker? Are you ready to go to the true home for saved people? Because this one's temporary. We live in tents, technically. We're going to something that we can't even really fathom. Are you ready to meet your Savior and your Creator face to face and receive, like Brother Kevin was talking about the other night, our inheritance as children of God? Or do you want the here and now? And the here and now is summed up rather well if you'll go to 2 Peter 2. He gave a pretty good description of it. And Ethan told me I probably wouldn't be able to say this without laughing because it's put in a comical fashion, but it's true. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, as the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Sure.
Now, what that's driving at is you get saved and you have all this to look forward to. But then as a backslidden person or somebody that just goes back to the world and back to the mire of it, and you forget what you're really, really supposed to be looking towards. And 1 Peter, if I said 1st, I meant 2 Peter on that one. That's where I went, but I hope I said 2nd. 1 Peter this time, 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech thee, are you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul.
Right.
It's not wrong for us to want stuff and have stuff in this life and you know, toys and boats and motorcycles and things that we want, hot rod cars or whatever. But in the end of it, you're still, your focus is on the Lord and His kingdom to come. We as Christians have double minds. And we have a spiritual and then a worldly mind that we fight against.
Sure.
Are you God's man or the world's? Are you serving God or the world? And with, if you look at the where you really, really focus at, you'll know. And Matthew 6:19 is a prime example of that. I'm sure most of you know where I'm headed with that one. It is 6:19-24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Do you worry and fret over the world's shortcomings and the government and the way things are going, the unknown future? You know, I mean, there's so many people that are strung out so heavily on how the world's turning and where everything's headed, but we know where it's going. And so we really don't have to worry because our future is already written.
Amen.
And we know where we're going. A worldly man's out for himself. He's chasing a mirage of glory and honor. Riches. Yeah, you see people that are rich. He's looking for respect, loved by everybody, maybe even worshiped by them a little bit. And so, you know, you look at that and there's plenty of people that get jealous of folks here on earth. And like Dad said, I think earlier this morning, that may be all that guy's ever going to have, is what's here and now. And so we can't get caught up in things like that. John, and some, if you don't want to chase with these, you're more than happy to write them down and listen. John 12:43. See, I can cheat. I have them all marked. John 12:43 says, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And you see that prevalent in the world that we live in. And they're completely focused on saving the environment, the ozone, the, you know, whatever. They think they're going to make the world last forever. And if not that, they're going to go to Mars and create another one. But they're gravely mistaken. The same guy, the world's guy, man, whatever you want to say he is, he'll look successful by the world's standards. An example to be followed. Unfortunately, people look at him as an example and they follow him. They say, "Hey, look at this football star or this rich guy or whatever." And yeah, people, "Hey, I want to be like that guy." Well, I mean, we know better, but he has it all. And he thinks he's going to just, apparently they think they're going to have it all forever. But way back in Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death."
Amen.
So, you know, as far as their standards of what they think it's supposed to be like and how it's going to be and where they've got it, the world by the tail or whatever, they're wrong. And I threw another quick one in here for you to jump to. 1 John 2:15-17. "Love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."
Amen.
I want that side of it. I want the forever. I don't want the here and now. I'd rather be God's man. Again, like I was saying, God's man, you do have a double mind that you're going to war with. But you need to stay in tune with the spiritual mind. We have, while we're passing through this life, you know, both sides we can choose. And if we can stay in tune with that spiritual mind while going through it and sojourning here, then we're going to find what Romans 12:1-2. This was a lot easier on my own alone, but because it was like, yep, this flows great. "I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." If we stay in tune with that spiritual mind, we're going to be more in line with that verse and what that's saying.
That's right.
And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God.
Amen.
So, God's man is humble. He's hardworking. He's slow to anger. A lot of the times I'm not that slow to anger. He listens more and talks less. He's full of Christ's love for all, and he wants to share it with everybody.
Amen.
And you want to put God and his kingdom first.
Sure.
Where you're headed. Your inheritance. Colossians 3:1-4. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God."
Amen.
where Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That is a cool idea, in my opinion. I cannot wait for that.
Amen.
He will have great reward, God's man will. He will also have honor and riches and glory that, unlike the world's man, God's glory and honor and respect and things of this nature are not going to fail or fade like they will here.
That's right. Amen.
So, a godly man needs to give and show the example and the mind of Christ and draw others to the truth. I fall short of that many times, but that's what he wants us to do, because, well, we're of the knowledge of our permanent dwelling that's outside of what's going to perish and go away, and we should want to bring as many as we can to it.
Amen.
Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
That's right.
And we should wanna bring as many as we can to something like that and show them the difference between the temporary and, a lot of the times, the lies of this world, and show them the truth and what God has in the end that's permanent.
Amen.
John 3:16 and 17 is the last thing I'll read. And we know what they say. They're famous for a reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, the world, but that the world through him might be saved. They would have you to believe that God's the problem and that he needs twisted around and mangled up to their version of the truth and whatever they think, when in truth he's the one that's saving what he created.
Sure. Amen.
And we need to tell people the truth about that and show them what we have as an inheritance as his children and what we have to look for and why we're so happy every day.
Amen.
But that's it.
Let's stand.